microphone than the mic.
All right, Mr. Briggs, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Next up, we have item 14, S&S Land Development Company, Monterey County. This is for consideration of a recommended administrative civil liability order, and I've got an opening statement for you to read.
Oh, okay. All right. This is the time and place for a hearing by the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board for consideration of a proposed administrative civil liability order against S&S Land Development of Moss Landing, Monterey County. The order of presentation at this hearing will be as follows. 1, witnesses called by the prosecution staff. 2, cross-examination of regional board, prosecution staff, witnesses by the discharger. 3, witnesses called by the discharger. 4, cross-examination of discharger's witnesses by regional board, prosecution staff. 5, representatives of agencies. 6, other interested persons. 7, summation or closing statements by the discharger and prosecution staff. Board members and staff counsel may ask questions to clarify testimony of a witness at any time. Each person who testifies at this hearing shall begin by stating his or her name and address, unless the address has already been given. All persons who may testify at this hearing, please stand. Even if you don't plan to testify, but are involved in this matter. Okay, raise your right hand and take the following oath. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony which you will give in this matter is the truth?
I do.
Okay. Mr. Briggs.
I will turn it over to Mr. Packard here.
Okay.
Before we do that, if I could just explain who's representing whom in this hearing. As you know, since this is a prosecutorial matter, we separate functions of staff so that the staff that are prosecuting this administrative civil liability don't have any communication with the board members or the board members' advisors. For this hearing, the prosecution team is Todd Stanley, Harvey Packard, and Michael Thomas, who issued the complaint. They are not represented by counsel at this hearing, and I have not represented them in this matter. Mr. Briggs and I will be advising the board.
Okay, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the board. I'm Todd Stanley, and I work in the enforcement unit. Item number 14 is a mandatory penalty case against S&S Land Development. S&S owns property formerly occupied by an auto salvage yard in Castroville. S&S recently reported that that yard closed in the fall of 2006. Staff is proposing your consideration of an ACL for failure to submit a timely annual report. As I said, S&S had reported that the yard closed in the fall of 2006. However, that facility was in place and subject to the general stormwater permit during the 2005-2006 reporting period. The general permit requires all dischargers to submit self-monitoring reports by July 1st of each year. S&S has again failed to comply. The Water Code provides for mandatory minimum penalties for dischargers that fail to submit annual reports by July 1st and after at least 2 notices of violation. Staff sent S&S Land Development 3 notices within a 60-day period and telephoned them, but did not receive the report within the 60-day window. To avoid mandatory penalties, S&S needed to submit their annual report by October 1st, 2006. S&S submitted the annual report after that date, so staff issued a complaint. The Water Code's mandatory minimum penalty for failing to submit an annual report is $1,000. However, that amount can be higher at the board's discretion. In this case, staff is recommending a higher penalty because S&S has failed to submit reports by July 1st for 6 of its 10 years of enrollment, resulting in multiple NOVs, or notices of violation. Of approximately 400 dischargers required to provide annual reports per the general permit, only 5 are subject to the mandatory penalty this year. Of those five, one was a first-time violator, and staff reserved recommending the minimum mandatory penalty for that discharger. S&S's violation history is more serious because of chronic reporting violations. Staff therefore recommends $2,000 in civil liability, more than the minimum required, but less than the penalty recommended for dischargers with more serious violation histories. Thank you.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, was it Mr. Stanley?
Yes.
Yeah. You said that that S&S failed to provide notices on 6 of the 10 years?
Yeah, yes.
You don't mean they were just late, that those 6 are missing? They were never provided?
No, they failed to provide them by July 1st, so they were late.
Okay, but they did eventually provide them.
Right. Go back to the previous slide.
Okay.
See the right-hand column is when they did arrive.
No, the right-hand column is enforcement date action taken.
Okay.
That doesn't indicate whether we got them or not.
In each case, we did eventually give them a report, but we had to issue notices. They went into violation each year.
That's all I wanted.
Yeah. So by those dates, obviously you hadn't received the reports.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
We do have someone here from S&S, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And did we have, this is the first time we brought an action?
Based on
all these NOVs?
Yes. This is the first ACL. Driven primarily by the mandatory penalty law that came into effect in recent years.
I see, but in all these other cases, they got it in by the 60 days.
Not necessarily, no.
Okay.
The 60-day has only been in effect for, I think, 2 years.
You're right, okay.
Yeah.
Did that come with the minimum?
Right.
Minimum mandatory?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's within 60 days of the first NOV that we issued.
Exactly. Okay, thanks.
Okay. Go ahead.
How do we send the mail to these guys? Is it registered or was it just mailed?
We send them both. Actually, the first notices that go out typically go out by regular mail because there's more of them.
Mm-hmm.
As we get more reports that come in, it gets whittled down and whittled down. So by the second NOV, like in this case, we sent three actually in this case in the 60-day window. The first two went regular mail. The third went certified.
Okay. And we got
to the same address.
Okay. And it was signed for?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And in that 60-day window, we also spoke with the representatives of the company.
Oh, okay.
You know, just for future, I don't know, but you might want to think about this because the first NOV is the one that actually triggers the 60-day window.
Mm-hmm.
That might be the one you want to send by certified.
Yeah, I'd advocate that as well. I think the hitch there has been that there's been just so many, and so there's a lot that qualify for that first NOV.
So it's a lot of money.
Yeah. So, but I would agree that we could do that.
Okay.
I wouldn't argue against it.
Just put it in the hopper.
Okay. Do we have some way of noting for our record that Board Member Jeffries is not here?
I'll make a note.
You know, usually Carol tracks those things.
Right.
So you might make note of that. Mr. Vizzolo?
I actually have a question for staff before we move on. What type of business is S&S in?
They're a land development company. They're property owners in this case.
And you said the yard was closed?
Yes, they reported to me about a month ago over the phone that auto salvage yard that was subject to the permit had closed in the fall of 2006.
So it was a salvage yard that was subject to the permit?
Yes.
That's the business?
Okay.
Yes. And do you know if S&S is still in business?
To my knowledge, they are.
Okay, Mr. Vizzolo, if you could come up. You know, we have a somewhat formalized process for these hearings. I don't know if you heard what I went through in terms of the presentation.
I did, Mr. Chair. Thank
you. Okay, great. All right.
Again, for the record, my name is Jeffrey Vizzolo, and I'm with S&S Land Development. My address is Post Office Box 955, Castroville, 95012.
Okay. This is your opportunity to cross-examine Water Board staff on their presentation.
With all due respect, Mr. Chair, and members of the board, I read and heard Mr. Stanley's report, and I do not wish to contest Mr. Stanley's report. We recognize that some of our reports Our annual reports were submitted after the January or the July 1st deadline, and I can't offer an excuse other than perhaps we've been overextended, as perhaps Ms. Dyer has been. We also recognize that failure to submit the report essentially puts blinders on staff as well as on the board, because as that data comes in, and if we happen to be releasing something that's polluting the environment, staff has no way of knowing. Again, it's an error on our part. We resolved to do things differently. Beginning this year, however, we'd like to start utilizing the swarm procedure for submission of those reports in a timely manner, and hopefully that will correct the lateness of the reports. Fortunately, however, the water that's been discharged from the property has fallen within the parameters the state has designed for stormwater discharge. I certainly understand that doesn't circumvent the lack of timing, and that might sound as if we're talking apples and oranges, but if there's any latitude whatsoever, at least the water was clean, or at least within the state's parameters.
Staff's recommending a fine of $2,000.
I humbly request that be reduced or actually negated entirely.
Okay.
It's our position, again, Mr. Chair, that I read and I heard Mr. Stanley's report. I've talked with him on the phone on at least one occasion, and pardon me if it's been more than that. But again, we're acknowledging, and again, I'm not contesting his allegations whatsoever. The reports were late. Again, just because the water was clean, we've been overextended. We have not submitted that report in a timely manner, and we've resolved to do it from this day forward in a more timely manner. And again, clean water testing doesn't absolve us from the necessity of submitting that report in a timely manner.
Okay. I take it then you have no questions of staff.
I do not, Your Honor, or Mr. Chair.
That's why I like coming to these hearings. When I go home, I got to take the trash out, you know? And do other things. No, in all seriousness, let me just kind of go through this.
I understand.
This level here. Let's see. Does staff want to cross-examine Mr. Vizzola? Okay. Are there any other representatives of other agencies that wish to address the board on this issue? Other interested persons want to address the board on this issue? Okay. Mr. Stanley?
Yes.
Any closing statements, summation, any thoughts on what he has told us?
Yes. Just to focus in on the point of the recommendation has to do with reporting, and not so much the quality of the report.
Right.
And that's all I would add to that.
Okay. So your recommendation is still the $2,000
yes.
fine?
Yes, it is. And I make that in relation to their own history, which we see on the slide now, and also the relative efforts that are made by the other dischargers that have to do the same.
Right. Okay. Mr. Vizzolo, any closing comments?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Again, as Mr. Stanley said, this is about the timeliness of the report and not necessarily about the data within the report. We completely understand that and humbly request the board negate the ACL in this particular matter, and we resolve to have the report submitted from this day forward in a timely manner.
Okay. All right.
It's difficult oftentimes being overextended, and right. I can empathize with Ms. Dyer.
Right. Okay, thank you for your comments.
Thank you, folks.
Dr. Press.
Well, sir, if you could come back. could you give us a little bit more to go on for why we should reduce from... because what the staff is trying to do is to treat these and of these reporting violations equitably, and that's why they're putting it in context of the other ones, and that helps us to understand that we're treating people, you know, in an equitable manner. Everybody's circumstance is different, so that's what happens in a hearing. You hear about different circumstances, and then we can adjust. I haven't heard anything more compelling than you were busy, and I can understand that that gets in the way of annoying reporting requirements. But I mean, it, when you say the yard is closed since the fall, does that mean that there are no automobiles left on the site, or you're not accepting any, or?
Dr. Press, I'm hearing a couple different questions, if I could be so bold.
Yeah.
We're essentially in between clients right now. Our tenants, if you will, our previous tenants have vacated the premises, and there are still a few straggling vehicles left on the property. We've been using this as an opportunity to clean the property, essentially replace fences, update the buildings and items to that effect, and do some touch-up on the grading, clean out our stormwater separator system, and so on. With respect to the failure to submit the report in a timely manner, the data is collected throughout the year. It goes into crude note form. I do it. I have some staff that help me collect that data. Sometimes we'll go out collectively, sometimes we'll go out individually, and we'll put our heads together, and we'll write down our observations either that day or the following morning if it's a late afternoon event, storm event, or something to that effect. Once the data is collected, it's packed away into a folder, and then such time comes around where we get around to completing the report and submitting the report to the water board. Again, I understand your concern about you're not hearing anything more than I'm busy. If I wrapped it up in a nutshell, I wouldn't want to lead you to believe otherwise. Frankly, sir, that's what's happening.
Yeah. I appreciate your honesty. I mean, and empathize also.
I would not try to deceive you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, Mr. Hashi.
This is a mandatory penalty.
Yes.
Of a minimum of $1,000.
Yes.
And so aren't we tied to that minimum of $1,000 anyway?
The staff's made a recommendation, but they have articulated a reason to go beyond that.
I just want to make sure that it is a mandatory penalty.
For $1,000.
For $1,000.
Okay. No less.
Any other board comments, questions? Dr. Hunter?
I appreciate the time you've taken to come here and help us with this process today. You indicated that you want to assure us that your reporting in the future would be on time. Can you tell us what you would do differently and how you perceive the priority associated with those deadlines?
Well, thank you for the opportunity. We plan to utilize the swarm. We've not used that in years past. It's my understanding that became available in November of 2006. And that reporting period was already in progress. And actually looking at it, I didn't know if it was going to be more timely to come on board with the swarm program or if that would, or just investing a few hours may actually help streamline the reporting process for us. And we're hoping that now, during the dry months, July is traditionally our slower month, as is August. And hopefully that gives us the opportunity to step forward and register with swarm, utilize its that module, become more familiarized with it, and submit our information that way.
Are you talking about the county's program, or what are you referring to exactly?
It's the Stormwater Annual Reporting Module, as I understand it's available through the Regional Water Control Board.
Electronic.
Electronic submission.
Electronic submission. Oh,
yes,
I see.
Ma'am. I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay, great. So you're investigating that now, and you feel you will be up to speed? You'll be able to utilize that process?
Yes, ma'am. It's my understanding that there's an application process that goes along with that, and that may take as much as a few weeks. I'm not terribly familiar with the process, but that just seems to be the understanding that I have of it to date. And surely within a couple of weeks, that's virtually nothing because we are, as you know, in the middle of the summer. So that would help us.
Okay. Thanks.
Dr. Balker.
How complex are the old forms? I mean, what level of complexity does it take to make a form, fill out a form and send it in?
I don't know.
I can provide you with an example. There's a lot of check boxes, a lot of yes-no answers. So it's just a hard copy version of essentially what you'd be filling out electronically.
There's no writing to it. You just check a box. Unless you have an explanation.
Mostly, yeah. There's a lot of that. There is a section where you record your observations, which are obviously narrative, mm-hmm. but you do it in relatively briefly.
And that would be true in the electronic version as well.
That's my understanding. I haven't used the module myself, but we'd be looking for the same information. We'd just be trying to facilitate the submittal.
Mr. Shalk.
Let me just sort of looking at the pattern here. I'm not sure what was going on at SNS, but it looks like it might have been the sort of situation where they were using the notice of violations as sort of late notices. It's like, okay, now I really got to pay the bill. And without realizing that they were actually chalking up some bad will with the board that is coming back now in the form of an added penalty on top of the minimum mandatory. And I'm just wondering if there's anything in the notice of violation that would indicate that it's anything more than merely a late notice and you better get it in by this date.
Absolutely.
There is?
Yes.
Okay.
It informs them. It cites the water code and informs them that if they don't get it in by a certain time, that there will be a mandatory minimum.
No, I understand that, but there's nothing in the notice that lets them know that even by getting the notice, they're racking up possible more penalties down the road if they do eventually. Because you're using the notice, the violation of the other notices of violation, to increase the penalty.
Yeah, there's no bad karma clause. There's no bad karma clause.
No bad. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, no.
Okay, but is there any way he knows that that it's any more than just a late notice, right, and that he needs to do it? I don't know.
Well, I mean, the notice of violation does state you are in violation. It's very clear about that.
I understand that. Okay. I'm sorry I went there now. Okay. Dr. Press understands.
Dr. Press?
I think Mr. Hayashi has a good idea.
Well, I think, don't get me wrong, but I think that you're sincere in what you're saying, and I hope that you are. So I'm thinking that maybe under these circumstances, that maybe it is a minimum of $1,000. So my thinking is that if we lowered it to $1,000 today, and we hold in abeyance a fine of an additional $2,000 if it is not filed on time by the next July 1st.
That July 1st has already come and gone, so that might actually, and I'm not sure if he's submitted the report.
I don't recommend doing that, actually, because it's a very small amount and it's a pretty large administrative burden for staff to track an abate penalty of $2,000, especially when the board has the authority, if this year's report is late, to impose other penalties. And in fact, you're not limited by this statute with the $1,000 minimum penalty. This is actually a violation of Section 13383 and 13385 of the Water Code, which carries a maximum daily liability of $10,000. So there's really no reason to hold anything in abeyance.
Okay. Mr. Briggs.
Yes, I appreciate Mr. Vizzola, is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, sir.
Your claim of being overextended, but part of doing business is following the rules. And I think if this was a situation where you had a violation one previous year or two previous years, then your comments might be more well placed. But one of the things that I think the board needs to keep in mind is we want to handle this as administratively as possible without bringing a lot of hearings to the board. And I think if the board says, well, gee, you took the time to come before us and say you were too busy and you have been too busy for the last 10 years, and the board says that sounds like a good argument, you're really going to be inviting a whole batch of people to come before you and say the same thing. So sorry to be so cold, but I think this is a minimal amount considering this history of violations. It struck me as low, actually, when I read the materials. And so I think it's very appropriate to stick with the this minimal amount that the staff is, the prosecution here is recommending. Dr. Bowker.
Can I ask you to back up one slide?
Yes.
So have you submitted the July 1st for 2007?
Yes, sir.
Has it been received?
Other staff are tracking that. I don't have that information today.
That would have been just within the last week.
Okay.
You know, my sentiments are that it is a nominal amount. It's consistent with what we have done before. And I think his comments are completely honest and forthright. I mean, I appreciate, you know, your candor, but it is one of those kind of black and white things we deal with that we just need to be consistent with. And I think that Mr. Briggs is possibly right in suggesting that, you know, if we start to create this kind of an exception, because it's a good argument, and it might invite people to come here and try that. Which I wouldn't want to happen. This is the way we achieve compliance, is with these minimum penalties. So, yes, Mr. Hodgson.
Well, I wanted to concur with that. It seems I was looking at the chart up there with five people in violation. Four of them, mostly very similar situations in terms of number of years and. Yeah. Number of notices of violation, and four of them have already settled for amounts similar to what we're talking about. It would be, I think, inconsistent on our part to select one to have a different or lower amount. So I believe that we need to be consistent.
Dr. Press.
Well, I'll just move to accept the staff's recommendation.
I'll second.
Okay. Any more board discussion on this? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, folks.
Okay. All right. Moving right along. What was after 14? There's no 15.
Item 16.
Moss Landing.